Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Good morning and welcome. It's so good to see each and every one of you here this morning. It's cold outside. January is coming to an end. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say. We're getting a day closer to spring. Next week, we're going to be starting a brand new sermon series called Real Tips Relationships. So it's Real Tips for Relationships. How many of you are in relationship with someone? That's every one of you. Somehow, in some way, you're in relationship with someone. And I know some of you are thinking, praise God, my wife is going to get fixed through this series. My husband's going to get fixed. My boyfriend or whatever. No. You might get fixed through it, but that's not the whole purpose. I'm not here to fix you. How many know the first and most important relationship in your life is not between you and your spouse? It's not between you and your child. It's not between you and someone, but it's with Him. It all goes back to that relationship with the Father. And so we're not going to fix your marriage, but possibly through this series, your relationship with Him be closer. Can I say fixed? And then boom. The Bible says seek ye first, and then all these other things just kind of work out somehow, some way. That's the way God works. So next week, Real Tips for Relationships. It's so great to have Pastor Nancy with us for 10 days. Let's give her a great big hand. This is the 10th day. It's over. How? It's like it was 3 days or 2 days, but it's come so quick. And we thank God for Pastor Nancy for being with us, for spending time with us the last 10 days and pouring into our leadership. Many of you don't know the times and the hours and the meetings and that she's done this week. She was available not just for our leadership, but many of you, and you were able to sit one-on-one with her, and she was able to pour into you, and so we thank God for that. Our pastor's luncheon was a great success. We had multiple pastors. There were 6 churches represented, and so we're just praying and believing God for big things in 2019. But again, I want to introduce my mentor pastor, Pastor Nancy. Let's give her a great big hand. Partnership has begun.
Definitely.
2019. We're partnering.
That's right. We're ready. Amen. I'm so glad to see all of you today. It has been my honor. Thank you so much. It has been my honor this week to be here. I heard somebody say, yeah, 10 days of snow, but you see, for me, snow is like awesome. Because I didn't have to do anything but watch it fall, and, you know, I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to shovel. Did anybody here have to shovel? Yeah, so you see, I'm having a different experience than you are, right? So it all seems so wonderful, and it just glistens, and it looks so awesome when it falls, right? So I've been thoroughly enjoying my time here in Iowa, and we'll fly out this afternoon. I have considered it my honor to be with people, to be a part of your lives outside of this room, because how many of you know there's a whole lot more life happening out there, right? And we come in here, we receive what God is saying to us together, we worship Him. But how many of you know that when the lights go off, the music is over, all of that, how many of you know that is where God is really beginning to work? All right, that is where He begins to really do the work inside of us. So I love being able to be right here. I love being here in the pulpit. But I love being able to connect with people who want to connect, who are willing to do that. And so I've had the privilege this week of having dinner with people, having lots of coffee with people, being able to visit, listen, talk, share, go to people's homes, and just being able to be a part of the lifeblood of what is happening here at Crossroads. So that has been an awesome privilege for me to be connecting while I'm here. But today I fly out. And so I want to make sure that you know that I would love to be able to stay connected with you as I head home. And yes, I will be back a couple of more times this year. But to be able to connect on social media, I would love for you to be able to do that. I'm so longing to get into the Word, but I need to say all of this. So I want people to be connected because I want them to understand that the relational connections that God gives is because God is getting ready to do something in all of our lives. And that does not happen just here and there at an event. So if you want to be connected with me, I know Pastor Joseph has told me I could do this, that you're able to connect with me, Nancy McCready Ministries, on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, all of that. Also, in addition to, I'm sure that you've been generous and have blessed in the offerings that Pastor did last week, and I'm grateful for that. But I do have people that partner with me each month. And you're able to go to my website, nancymccready.com. I don't know if that's up there. Yes, it is. That you're able to partner with me today, and you can go to nancymccready.com. You can be a one-time partner and give there, or you can give monthly, however you choose to do that. There's podcasts there. There's all kinds of information there. So I would strongly encourage you to connect with me because I want to connect with you, but I have to wait for people to come after me. Can I get a good amen? How many of you know you do not want me coming after you, okay? Do you know what I'm saying? And so that's a part of sometimes the tension is I want to connect with people, but the proper way is, especially in discipleship, is that it's if any man would come after me. If I was getting you saved, God almost says I can come and just do almost anything to get you saved. I can come and twist your arm. I can do almost anything. But when it comes time to connect for a deeper work, for the things that God is getting ready to do, it is right and it is proper and it is full of integrity to wait until people say, hey, Nancy, I want to connect. And when people do that, then I think sometimes they're surprised that I actually want to connect too. And that this is something that saved my life when people connected with me, and I want to be able to connect with you. So I hope that you'll visit the website. I hope you'll do all of that, okay? So I am ready today to minister the part two of last week's message, Symphony of Sons. How many of you are with me today? Huh? How many of you are gonna stay with me, okay? So some of you will be relieved to know you know who you are. I do have a plane to catch, so this service will end today, right, at some point. But I just want to tell you that my heart is very stirred, and I'm going to deliver this message as God has given it to me. Because I believe that I'm shooting something literally into the belly of this house. You know, it's kind of like when the angels came and they told the shepherds, you know, he's been born, you know. But how many of you know only the shepherds heard it? Not everybody heard it, but how many of you know it was still real? And sometimes if we're not careful as preachers, we only tell what we think people can hear, want to hear, whatever. Well, I'm here to say what he's given me to say. And if I release it into the atmosphere and if I believe him, okay, if I believe him for what it is that he wants to do, as best I can tell, that's all that's necessary, is that there may be a few of you, there may be many of you, but I want to continue today. I want to provoke you today, to go further with him, to stay with him, which is to abide. Part of abiding is that you stay. How many of you have ever just had certain things conquered in your life just because you stayed? If you had ditched out on any particular day, right, you would have ended up in a big mess. But because you simply stayed and staying with him, he begins to sort things out and he begins to do things for you, listen to me, that you were never meant to do for yourself, okay? So staying with him is very key and very important. So this is part two of Symphony of Sons. And last week we talked about that God's heart in John 17 is that he wants to be one with you. People say, well, Nancy, I don't know what that means. I say, I know. But stay with him. He will make himself known to you. I don't know about y'all, but it's a huge relief to me that it doesn't all depend on me. I don't have to figure it all out. I don't have to know. I stay with him. When I stay with him, he speaks to me. He tells me. He talks to me. He explains things to me. How many of you are glad to know that your whole life with God is not based upon your IQ? Hallelujah. Anybody here ever given yourself a headache trying to figure out the things of God? Yeah. Listen, he goes beyond all of those things of the natural. Those things will not be a barrier. Okay, those things will not be a barrier to you. And so the aspect of this Symphony of Sons that I want to focus in on today, because they want you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they want you. They want you in maturing oneness with them. This is what Jesus prayed in John 17. They want the many to be able to move as one. And we talked about this last week, because then there will be able to be a fantastic, unbelievable harvest of lives. We talked last week that when a symphony comes together, it's each instrument presenting themselves at attention and coming to that place that they give themselves to the conductor. And that each one of us, if we're going to have skin in the game, we have to do two things, which is be willing to take stronger ownership over our own lives. We have to say, you know what, God, it's time for me to take new levels of ownership for everything that goes on inside my own skin. Instead of waiting for somebody else to do something to fix me, to be able to allow him to begin to work from the inside out. And when you start to live at new levels of ownership in your life, I promise you, it's going to get risky. So you make sure you write it down and you say, Nancy did warn me. She did tell me. This is going to be risky. You're getting ready to go places that you have never been with him before. And last week we talked about that in all of that, there is a sharpening that begins to take place. We talked about my favorite, one of my favorite quotes from Abraham Lincoln that says that if you're going to take 6 hours to cut down a tree, use the first 4 hours to do what? Sharpen the axe, okay? And how many of you have ever felt like you've been beating a tree with a dull axe, okay, for the majority of your life, okay? And you're thinking to yourself, what in the world is going on? But I'm telling you, time spent with him, okay, in a variety of ways, okay, where you let him do what he wants to do, I'm telling you, God can do things much better than we can if we allow him. So, because I believe that it is a deep sharpening season, today my focus is on the private practice room, because this is where all the sharpening, all of the strengthening, this is where everything happens, my friend. Last week I told you that the public pulpit cannot do for you what only God can do for you in private. And preachers will kill themselves trying to get something to you from this place. I'm not even looking at Pastor Joseph, okay? All right? Because I'm telling you that having been a pastor for 20 years, I'm telling you, there are times that you think, I'm going to pick this pulpit up. I'm telling you, I'm about to hurt somebody, because your desire inside is for people to know him. Not just get it, but to know him. And you cannot, though you can preach it from here, but it cannot happen from here. It happens in the private place in your own life. And there again, you have to wait for people to decide that they're going to do that. So I want to roll this clip if we can. So Kylie, I'm not going to pray. You can go sit down, precious one. So listen, listen. This is the private practice room. Go ahead. How many of you would pay money to go hear that? Nobody. Nobody's going to pay money, right? You can hear all those different sounds all the time. Why? Because everybody's in their own private practice room. Everybody's in their own place with their own instrument, learning what they need to learn, okay? Some of those private practice rooms might have a coach in there saying, listen, you're going to have to work on this. This is what's going on here. I need to show you some things that you learned previously that you need to unlearn. How many of you know that a deep part of the learning process is there's a lot of things you have to unlearn? I tell you, it's painful. You know, because when we have to unlearn things so that we can learn that, how many of you know it has to break sometimes what's called muscle memory? Anybody here know what muscle memory is? I mean, I've heard that when people go work out, which I've heard, I've heard that when people go, and if they work out, you know, in their younger years, okay, they have all this muscle memory, and then later on when they decide as an adult, hey, yeah, I'm going to go back and play basketball or do whatever. It happens to all of us when we learn to ride a bike, right? You just don't forget how to ride a bike. Anybody? That's muscle memory. And oftentimes in our lives, we're living off of muscle memory, but our muscles may have been trained in ways that are not actually the ways of God. Amen, Nancy. Okay. It's really sad when I have to amen myself, but if I have to, I will. Why not encourage myself while I'm up here? All right, because we've got somewhere to go today. I'm telling you, God is depositing something in this house. He is, and you're the house, my friend. It's not this building. It is inside of you. But when people in those practice rooms, those individual practice rooms, they begin to get fine-tuned, they begin to get sharpened in private, then they can come out and they can be a part of that great symphony, that great symphonic sound. And so all of us, if we can show the images of the symphony, if you have those from last week, that everybody that's in a symphony, that when you see them and hear them, you're like, wow, that is so fantastic. All of them began where? In their private practice room. In the private practice room is where they started. So today I want to open up with 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul. Because I'm going to talk to you today about where this private practice room, where it really happens, my friends, is right here inside of you. There is a tent that God will pitch of His presence over you, spirit to spirit, okay? If you're born again, spirit to spirit within, deep calling unto deep. Anybody ever heard that scripture? For those of you that think that you are shallow, anybody else in here lived shallow? Yes, so have I. But guess what God calls me now? He calls me deep. Why? Because He calls me according to Himself. Deep calls unto deep. He pitches the tent of His presence over us. This is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, but He said to me, my grace is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, this is now Paul's response to what God has said to him. He says, therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. so that for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, persecutions and perplexities and distresses. For when I am weak, we usually say he is strong. That is not what it says. It says, for when I am weak in human strength, then am I truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. See, it says that when I am weak, yet he pitches his tent over me. He causes me to share in his actual strength. See, what most people do is what I call the kitty litter syndrome, is when their weaknesses, anybody here know what I'm talking about when I talk about kitty litter? Mm-hmm. Okay, it's like when it comes to your weaknesses and your infirmities, you know what you're doing? You're trying to cover them. I'm just going to help somebody right now. I got to make sure that you're going to remember something I'm going to say today. So when you're over there trying to lie, blame, act like you don't have anything, you like trying to cover stuff up because you've got weaknesses, infirmities, you know. But listen, what Paul says is I glory in those things. I am not trying to cover all that up. He says, because when he pitches his tent over me, I become one that when I glory in my weakness, of course I'm weak. See, aren't most of us fighting, showing that we're weak? Aren't most of us trying to act like we're not? We think I shouldn't be weak. This is our invitation to finally be able to say, yes, I am weak. Yes, I am without strength. That is when he then comes and says, let me share with you. You know where this happens? Most of the time in your private practice room. Most of the time when you are struggling, you don't want people to see your weakness. You fight being weak. For me, as a young girl that was sexually abused from the time I was 5 until I was 16, ain't nobody gonna be looking weak. Anybody want to know why? Because when you are weak, you are a target. Anybody? I heard a little hum go through the room. Okay, so when you have to hide weakness, you have to come up with your own strength, because to be weak, to look like you don't know what you're doing, makes you vulnerable and open prey to other people, and you determine, I will never do that again. I thank God that most of what he's had to do in me, he's done in me in private. Nobody else could see that it was going on. But I certainly knew that it was, because he had pitched his tent over me inwardly, and he was beginning to speak to me. He told me things in private that nobody else even knew about me. And when he started talking to me like that, it got my attention. When he sent people to talk to me in a certain way, it got my attention, because I began to realize, I don't think when I pray, I don't think God's just going to help me in my human strength to be stronger. Does anybody understand? Maybe some of you have worn yourselves out praying with yourself, for yourself, praying for other people, and it doesn't seem that anybody is getting any stronger. That's because there is a deep work that God wants to do. If you and I could just pray and boom, now I feel stronger and everything is wonderful. How many of you know the abiding that God wants and that Pastor Joseph spoke of? How many of you know it's never going to happen? I'll be like, thank you, God, for that strength. I go right on my merry way. Anybody else? When God is saying, no, 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 the whole plan was for you to come closer to me. So why would God then help your human stuff get stronger so that you will go off away from him? Is anybody with me? I'm trying to help somebody with their frustration today, because your frustration level might be like at kissing 10, and you're praying and asking God, he's not going to answer something in a way that helps you handle everything apart from him when he is drawing you to himself. So what we see here in this scripture is that everything human has limits. If somebody was taking notes, if somebody was taking pictures, I would be taking pictures, because everything human has limits. Eventually, strong people, eventually, those of you that are like, well, I've never really had that problem, I'm just like, well, we're just going to wait just a minute. Because eventually, if you are serious about going on with God, He's going to tap your human supply. I'm telling you. I'm your warning today. I'm here. I'm telling you. If He's going to come to this house the way I think He's coming to this house, the human supply of this house, He will touch it. I don't take it lightly. This is, you know, I ask the Lord all the time, can I not just preach on peace and prosperity? Lord, can't I just say, if you give, everything's going to be fine? Can't that be my message, Lord? Right? No, He says, now, Nancy, tell them I'm coming. I'm the God who is about to arrive. They've been crying out for me. From the very foundations of the founding of this church to the pastors that sit right here on the front row, I'm telling you, there is a collective cry that has gone up from this place, and I'm telling you, God is coming. Why? Not because people cried and convinced God, but because it was God's idea in the first place to have a place, a house of people who would be a stronghold of His presence, where He could come and do what it is that He wants to do. And when that begins to happen, the human supply is getting ready to be drained, because human stuff will never go with God, and it will never be able to sustain you. It was never meant to. I want you to be encouraged today. Somebody's here today, it's your very first day, and I want you to be encouraged to know that God brought you here today just so that you could hear His voice to tell you, you don't have to try harder to fix what's going on inside of you privately. You don't have to be ashamed and try to hide and do better. God is coming to deliver you. God is coming to do great works. So everything human has limits. We settle for a changed life when what God always planned for is for it to be an exchanged life. This salvation isn't about going from evil to different shades of good, but rather going from a depraved nature to a divine nature, to share in the very nature and life of God. This isn't about going from level to level of human strength as you try harder and harder. It is about going from a human source, a natural source, to a spirit and supernatural source. It is about going from that which we inherited from Adam, giving up on it, and going into that which we have inherited from Christ. This is the great exchange that gets worked out in your everyday life, sharpened and developed in private. It is so that you can go from being a flapping hummingbird to a soaring eagle. Can anybody get a picture of that? Because I know y'all going to make me have to do it, because I'm going to have to flap like a hummingbird. I know it. You see, this word exchange is the word renew in Isaiah 40:31, where it says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That word renew means that you are going to have a deep exchange. You are going to exchange your human stuff for His divine strength. That means you're not going to be, I knew it was going to have to happen. I know, thank you. I was going to have to do it. I got to give you the picture because, nobody? And I know y'all all trying to look cool here, like, oh no, we totally know how to soar. Of course we know how to do. Oh, what are we going to do? 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 What am I going to do? Anybody? I don't know why that camera is out while I'm doing this. Right? Because how many of you know that when God gets done with you in private, you'd be like, I'm waiting to catch the heat wave. And that the Spirit of God comes under my own wings as I wait. Eagles know how to wait for Him. They're in an active waiting. They get in a private place and they know, do not just try to jump off this cliff. Do not just try to flap your wings. There is a deep work that God does inside of each and every one of us if we allow it. It's something we have to allow, that you invite. But if you're always afraid, see, sometimes when I read that opening scripture, people get too focused on the distresses and the this and that. And they don't want any of that. I said, well, who does? I need to know if you want him. The only reason I'm making this trip anywhere in the Spirit is so I can be with him, to abide with him, because there ain't no me without him. Some of us have got too much us without him, so not being with him ain't that big a deal. I couldn't get that on a slide. Okay, so are you with me? We're doing too well without him. So guess what he has to do? He has to help you become aware of how much you need him. Sometimes we think stuff's going to drop out of the sky. It's not going to drop out of the sky. It's going to happen right inside of us. So I want to say to you, and we'll say it several times today, it's time for you to book your private practice room. See, nobody can do that for you. I won't be calling you, okay? I'm not going to be like, you want to see me? No, I'm not going to do it. Right? I have too much respect for the people of God. No, I do not chase people down and say, you want to be discipled? No. Guess what I have to wait for? It's a little painful. It's a little painful, but guess what? I have to wait for people to want. I have to wait for people to seek. And I'm not talking about just coming to me. I'm just using me as an example. That could be coming to see anybody. Okay? But when we're going to take steps and we're going to go forward, there comes a moment when you say, I've got to book my own private practice room. I've got to quit trying to get everything in the symphony, okay, and trying to play my instrument, okay. I've got to get to that place where I'm in the private practice room with him, because this is where he begins to pitch his tent personally and corporately over you. I'm trying to do this as a dignified sermon, but I don't know how long that's going to last, so y'all just hang on with me, okay? So here is Isaiah 4, 1 through 6. Now, I've got all the scriptures there, but I want you to understand that when God comes to pitch the tent of his presence, I'm just going to tell you, it's not like anything you've ever known before. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to avoid. I want to be able to say, you see that tent over there with all that fire and smoke in it? If I were you, I'd start making my way towards it. See, a hunger within you. He builds that within you. He begins to draw you. A part of what happens is what's here in Isaiah 4, in verses 1 and 2, you'll notice that it says, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and provide our own apparel, our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach of being unmarried. What that's saying is that women were saying, look, we'll take care of ourselves. Just marry us, give us your name, so you can take away the reproach of, you know, it's embarrassing to be single. Are y'all with me? It's embarrassing to be alone. It's embarrassing to be barren. There's just a shortage of men. How many of y'all are with me in this? There's just a shortage of men and seven line. What if you did that right here at the altar? Okay, every man shows up. It's like, okay, seven of them show up. And they say, okay, we're going to get married. We're going to take your name so that we can say, yes, I am married. But I will still take care of myself. I will get my own clothes, I will get my own food. How many of you know that kind of flies in the face of what a marriage is about? Marriage is about oneness. It is about abiding together. It is not about one lording over the other or usurping authority over the other. It is about coming together, consummating a marriage where then there is an authority that begins to happen together that you did not have alone. But it says in this day, in Isaiah 4, it says, this was the state of God's people. There was a lot that was going on. It says, notice, in that same day, okay, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be excellent and lovely to those of Israel who have escaped. Now, I want you to take notice of this. This means these things are happening all at the same time. Now, what this means for us as the church, it says that simultaneously, people have taken God's name and they call themselves Christians, but they take care of themselves. They handle everything themselves. But in that same day of this defiled independence, where we call ourselves Christian, but we handle everything. Some of us actually think we're supposed to, as good Christians. I'm going to help somebody right now. We're actually proud of the fact that we're not as needy as other people. I'm feeling the love right now. I'm just feeling the love. Just want to absorb it for a moment, you know. Do you understand? See, some people think, oh, I'm doing better. I'm not needy like that. Well, you don't know how needy you are until the Holy Spirit comes and pitches his tent over you and begins to deal with these things. Simultaneously, those two scriptures show that in the same day that the people were living in defiled independence, it says that Jesus, the branch of the Lord, would be seen. How many of you know we've got something happening simultaneously in the church right now? And I'm telling you that he's getting ready to expose to us our independence. He's getting ready to tell you maybe what he had to tell me, which is, Nancy, I'm not going to be married to you in name only. Nancy, and I get, now this is my first and last name in the spirit, is Nancy Honey. That's what he calls me. Nancy Honey, that's my first and last name in the spirit. Nancy Honey, I'm not going to be married to you in name only. Where you take my name, you take all my stuff, you know, your blessing, your anointing, your ministry, and you move right on without me. Not going to happen. I made you for me, and I'm telling you, come to me. How many of y'all know? I'm like, ooh, Jesus. I began to feel the fire. Huh? We're going to talk a little bit about fire today. I would love for there to be a demonstration of fire. I would love for God to have a flamethrower. This is what I asked him. I put in my order, and I said, God, you cannot just throw some flame down there while I'm preaching to prove what I'm talking about. But maybe some of y'all feel the heat inside. That would actually be preferable. If he does the flamethrower thing, that's to make me look like I'm anointed, okay? If he throws the flame inside of you, guess what? That's about you and him. That's where I prefer. He says, I'm not going to be married to you in name only, where you call yourself a Christian, but you go right on taking care of things. He says, I want you to come to me. Isaiah 4 is only 6 verses. It goes on, and I'm going to skip verse 3 for right now, but you can read it later. And it talks about all of those in Jerusalem at this time coming for life, for eternal life, okay? And it talks about then in Isaiah 4, verses 4 through 6, it talks about this dual work of fire that happens inside the tent of his presence. And it says in Isaiah 4, 4 through 6, it says, after the Lord has washed away the moral filth of the daughters of Zion, the pride, the vanity, and the haughtiness, and has purged the bloodstains of Jerusalem from it by the spirit and blast of judgment, I underlined it, the spirit and blast of burning, and the spirit and blast of sifting. It says, and the Lord will create over the whole site, over every dwelling place, that's every home of Mount Zion, and over her assemblies, that's over all the churches. Who's to say that one day there will not be more churches coming out of this church than just this one church? Who's to say that this tent, this unbelievable work that God is getting ready to do, his presence is getting ready to go far beyond what you and I know right now? Amen? Amen. But guess what that means? He's got to get us ready. He has to get us ready for what he has always planned for. I told the leaders the other day, go ahead and decide that you're going to learn to live in a state of being perpetually overwhelmed. Because you will be if you're in the work of God. It's way bigger than any of us. Amen? and I'm not going to finally ride that elephant, and I'm going to get on top of this thing, and I'm going to be able to, you know. No, I've just decided, you know what, the whole thing is bigger than me. And when God comes with His heaven-born possibilities and what it is that He wants to do, all of us have to get ready. And this is the first part of that fire. If you'll go back to the verse, if you'll go back to the slide before, please. After the Lord has washed away the moral filth of the daughters of Zion, our pride, our vanity, our haughtiness of providing our own stuff, and He purges us by the blast of judgment, the blast of burning and sifting, okay? That's one aspect of the fire that begins to happen. It's because God has to deal with that which is in us that is not of Him. That's what the judgment is against. Right now, I don't know if you've noticed this in our culture, but nobody can judge anybody. You can't correct anybody. You can't say anything. Why? Because everybody's inflamed personally, okay? And you can't talk to me like that. If you're going to let God work in you, if you're going to get in your private practice room where He starts talking to you and He starts judging things within you, why? Why is He judging those things? So that the things that are separating you and Him in your everyday life. I mean, is everybody in here perfectly abiding? I should have asked this first. Maybe nobody even needs what I'm saying. Everybody's perfectly abiding with the Lord? Thank you. I preached the honesty in section 3. Because I'm not perfectly abiding. I'm abiding, but I'm certain I'm not abiding as much as I'm getting ready to. I woke up at 2 a.m. because I heard myself saying, I will not tolerate this. I woke up from a dream at 2 a.m. this morning. I will not tolerate this. I'm like, what is going on? Why am I waking myself up hollering from this dream? You see, there are things that can no longer be tolerated within us that we've gotten so comfortable with. Listen to me carefully. We don't even know how much God needs to come and deal with them if we're going to be ready for where He's taking us with Him. He begins to work in you. He begins to speak in you. He begins to do these things. But He has to separate it out so that He can bring us into agreement with Him about what He says, okay? So that if I agree with Him that this is not of Him, then He can deal with it. If I keep holding to it, clinging to it, or if I think it's me, and so I say, no, Lord, I'll get right on that, and I'll try to fix that. How many of you know that doesn't work? I'm so ready to get in the private practice room with people. But He has to bring you into a place of judgment and burning and sifting, this dual work of the fire, so that you can see what He's trying to show you. Don't cover it. Don't defend it. Don't try to explain it. Don't say, I want to keep it. Say, Lord, I want to come into agreement with You about what You're saying. That, yes, Lord, I see this is hindering our oneness together, our abiding together. The other side of the fire, all right, is the next part of the scripture. If you'll go to the next part, is where it says it's a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all of the glory shall be a canopy, a tent, a covering that is a defense of divine love and protection. And there shall be a pavilion for shade in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge and a shelter from storm and from rain. Do you see this dual work that happens? Is there's fire that separates out that which is not of Him. And then there is the fire of His divine love and protection. It happens simultaneously. This happens in a private practice room, if you will. It happens in the private place between you and Him, where He starts telling you things that nobody else actually knows. He begins to speak things to you that you've never been able to understand. Why it is that you keep fighting things and fighting things, He begins to talk to you about those things. So this is that place of intimacy that we talk about. And intimacy has this dual fire that goes on inside. This is a house of fire. I saw it. I didn't even realize that. I put it on one of those little Instagrams where you do those little GIFs that dance. Have y'all seen those? You know, I knew the kids would know what I'm talking about. So I'm going over here and so do those little things, you know. And I put the fire on there the other day, and I just wasn't even thinking. And then this morning, I was like, oh, my. Man, the fire of God is coming. You need to understand fire, because I don't know if y'all know this, but if fire gets out of the fireplace, it'll burn your house down. Fire stays inside the fireplace. What does it do? It warms you. And it's a wonderful thing. You got to know. You cannot be crying out for fire and not have some understanding of what that fire is. Because most of the time, what do we think? Lord, you bring that fire and you burn that person up on that second row over there that just will not behave. Anybody? I know who I want that fire to go to. They need to get straightened out. When God is saying to you, you come to me. You come close to me. You and I are about to have some fireworks going off. You and I are about to have some things that are about to happen. Because we can say that we want to get delivered. We can say that we want certain things to be dealt with. And how many of you know when it's time, how many of you, like me, have ever backed up from it? And you were like, I don't really know. I think I like talking about dealing with it rather than I don't know if I really want to deal with it. So remember what I said, that if we're going to have skin in the game, we have to begin to take new levels of ownership. And somebody's got to tell you, this is what it really takes if you're going to go deeper. This might not be what it took the last 10 years of your life. But if you're getting ready to go deeper and let God prepare you as a person and as a church, there are going to be things that God is going to begin to do. And it's not going to be to destroy you. It's going to be to free you. And we have to understand the dual fire of God, that when he comes, this deep intimacy, that we realize that there is deep fellowshipping in the light with God. We have to recognize what it means to sift and to separate between flesh and spirit. We have to understand that he will pitch his tent over you and love you and protect you while he begins to show you things within you that you did not know. All of this is meant to happen in that private place in a yoke of intimacy. And I want to ask Maria and Isaac if they'll come up, because I want you to see the yoke of intimacy that God gave to me years ago. This yoke of intimacy out of Song of Solomon 2, verse 6. Okay, now listen, I know that I am shooting all of this out at you. Okay? I just want you to take this in. Most people, when they think of a yoke of intimacy or a yoke, you know, like, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and take on what? My yoke, and I'll give you rest. Anybody ever heard that? Right. So I always thought, maybe you aren't like me, but I always thought that was that kind of, you know, neck-to-neck yoke. You know, it's like two oxen, you know, in a field working together, and the Lord and I are just, you know, working the field. Anybody else? And so you think it's more like that. And like, if I don't want to go, Jesus is still going to drag me because, you know, we're yoked together. Anybody else had this kind of raw picture, this look of a yoke? Okay, well, when I was going through this very deep time in my life and God began to have to deal with me and begin to get me ready to mature me, to live in oneness so the many could move as one, and all these magnificent things. There are magnificent things to come, but I'm talking to you about process. He began to speak to me this scripture, Song of Solomon 2 verse 6, that says, I can feel his left hand under my head, and his right hand embraces me. So I looked around to find a couple that I thought could handle doing this right here. So y'all pray that they don't get carried away or anything, okay? All right. So Isaac is the bridegroom and Maria is the bride. This is the yoke of intimacy, okay? So it says, Isaac, that you would put your left hand under her head and your right hand on her back. Do you see this? Now, this is what the Lord told me. He said, Nancy, my left hand on the neck of my bride. This is the yoke. This is face to face. Let me tell you what, this is some uncomfortable stuff right here. Is it? Are y'all with me? I know they agree. They're probably like, really? Okay, so like, Lord, Lord Jesus, we're going to have to help you. All right, so Lord, I knew it. We're trying, people. Okay. All right, so now listen. The Lord said, Nancy, my left hand on the neck of my people is what's going to cure their stiff neck. Anybody else in here ever been stiff neck? And he said, my right hand will be on their back. He said, this is going to be about face to face. This is going to be about me talking to them. This is going to be about us moving together. If y'all could just move just a little bit, okay? All right. Do you understand moving as one? Do y'all understand this? This is the deepest places of intimacy. This is where you can't hide, my friends. Let me tell you, this stuff made me, it was creepy crawly to me, the Lord, because I was like, oh, Lord, I love you when you're doing worship. And then when the Lord says, well, come closer, I'm like, no, let's don't do all that. No, anybody? Because you can't hide. You can't control him. You cannot manipulate him. You can't say, oh, guess what, God, I'll do better. I'm going to try to handle things, right? You can't hide. It's what I call claustrophobic relational pressure. This is what I call it. I have claustrophobic, in case anybody in here has this, claustrophobic relational pressure. As long as there's distance between us and basically I'm controlling you, I feel totally fine. The moment that a deep demand starts to be put on me because I get closer, it is very uncomfortable, and actually I feel quite claustrophobic and I want distance. Anybody? And that's what oftentimes is happening. We come close and worship, oh Lord, it's so awesome. But when the Lord actually wants to be one with you and speak to you and to work in you and to begin to talk to you in private, we don't know what to do with it, okay? We know how to work. We know how to read our Bible. We know how to pray. We know how to do. But when he starts to call you into this place, I'm telling you, I don't want you to be discouraged, and I don't want you to be clueless. I don't want you to be like, I don't really know, you know, how to move forward. He leads. There's probably nobody else in here that knows or does this, but I used to lead when my husband and I would dance. I know it's probably hard to imagine. I told him, just relax, honey, I'll take care of everything. Because I was always more comfortable in the lead. Why? Because then I can, you know, I can be in charge. Anybody else in here ever been afraid when you weren't in charge? Because when other big people get in charge, sometimes things happen. It's not pleasant. And sometimes people say, well, Nancy, that's because you were abused. No, that's because I was born in Adam. Everybody's a control freak, my friends. Everybody. It looks in different ways and in different forms. All right, thank you so very much. Yeah. But this is the yoke of intimacy. This is what, when Jesus said, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. So until you get bone weary in the spirit, you're not going to come. You're going to keep handling it yourself. Are you with me? That's why I pray for people to get tired. I'm asking God for the, I know y'all are going to be like, we're never having her back, but that's all right. Better to be honest and upfront than schmooze you all the way through, okay? Is I'm praying for the fullness of misery to come to you. I'm praying that you will be tired by the work of the Holy Spirit within you. I'm praying that what God wants to do in you, you will become aware of it. That could be today, that could be next week, that could be in 2 years. I'm in no rush. I don't need you to get free. Are y'all with me? I don't need you to be free, okay? I want you for him. And when God is ready to work, I want you to have some idea of what that's going to look like. So as I've shown you this yoke of intimacy, I'm going to tell you again, it's time to book your private practice room. It's time for there to be a oneness that can only be produced by abiding, by moving as one. We've been brought out of the yoke of sin, We have been invited to take hold of the yoke of the Son, but many of us have done what Galatians 5:1 says not to do, which is do not go and put yourself back into a yoke of slavery. We keep going back to trying harder. We keep going back to saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't do enough, I'll try better next time, rather than saying, Lord, I'm going to get in this oneness with you. Because God wants to see a magnificent consummation of you and him. How many of you know, again, I don't want to be too graphic, but I do want to be prophetic. How many of you know that you can get married, but if the marriage is not consummated, how many of you know there's no fireworks coming out of the house? Are y'all with me? So there's a lot of people that are married to God, but there's not any consummation happening. There's no oneness, there's no intimacy, there's no production, there's no writing the checks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? One of the most fun things about getting married is now you get to use your husband's name and you get to write all the checks, okay? So let's just, all right? It's okay. All right? But what happens is when the two become one, the power and authority that actually begins to come out. So a lot of people are sitting around and like, well, we're married, okay, but there's nothing happening at home. There's no intimacy. There's nothing actually happening. So guess what? You're not moving in the fullness of your oneness and the fullness of your marriage. God wants us to take this intimacy with him very seriously. And it is not just a lot of low lights and soft music. It is the lights full on where God is getting ready to work in you so deeply that you're going to be delivered to him in such a way. Listen to me. The devil doesn't know everything that God is up to. The devil is not sovereign. How many of you know that if the devil had known that what was going to happen when he crucified Jesus, how many of you know he'd have never crucified him? The devil doesn't know everything that God's going to do in you privately. But there's going to come a moment if you go with God in private to deeper levels. Whatever you've had with God, I thank God for it, but it's time to go deeper. It's time to go with him. And the devil does not know everything that's going on in private. But I'm going to tell you what, when you emerge out of this tent that I'm talking about, hell is going to have to back up. Hell's going to be like, what happened to them? What has been going on? I thought I had them down and out for the count the same way he did with Jesus. They thought they were dancing and, you know, doing the jig there in hell thinking it's all over. And on the third day, the Father reaches in by the power of the Holy Spirit and he quickened Jesus and he raised Jesus. And inside the loins of Jesus was you. The new you was inside of Jesus. And when the Father reached in there and quickened Jesus and he got up, I'm telling you, nobody was more shocked than hell. Because once Jesus got up, then it says that Jesus paraded them all the way through hell. And I guarantee you this, every demon in hell knows how free you are. The problem is when hell knows more than the church. And what God is getting ready to do in you, Crossroads, getting ready to do in you as individuals, if you so choose over the course of time, is something the devil is never going to see coming. He knows how you try harder. He knows all your patterns of work and all that. He knows all that. What he isn't going to know is when you get in that private practice room with the Father, and you let the Father work in you in ways that you have not even known you needed just yet. And the Father begins to bring you forth as gold. When God begins to deal with any controversy that you might have with him, when God begins to wound you to heal you, when God begins to bring you to decision and you decide you no longer want to run your life, you'd like to give the right to yourself up to the living God. I'm telling you what, hell is going to have to stand up and take notice, because the sons of the living God have actually gotten in their private practice room with God and they said, God, let the dual fire that you bring, let it begin to have its work in us. And when you begin to emerge, my friends, it's going to be something that the world has longed to see but has not yet seen. At least not for a while, not in this generation. But I believe that it's getting ready to happen. I believe that in private, you know, this is where the olive goes to olive oil. This is where the grape goes to wine. Do you understand what I'm saying? As a drunk, how many of y'all know, if I could have walked through the grocery store and just picked a few grapes here and there as I went through to get drunk, how many of you know I'd have done it? Nobody in here? I can't get no help from any old drunks, am I? So how many of you know, I never got drunk on grapes. But you take a grape and you crush it, you let it sit for a little while, how many of you know? It'll make you act the fool, make you do things you didn't do previously. The church needs some crushing. We need to let God take us from one form to another. No longer just cute little grapes sitting on chairs. We need to say, God, you know what? You obviously put something in me that is greater than the form that I'm in today. Is anybody catching a clue or y'all understand? There is some crushing. He put something in you. But here's what we say. Oh, Lord, use me. The minute he reaches over to do a little crushing, you're like, hey. Oh, no, you don't. Don't you come touching up on this, right? But guess what? He put the treasure within you. I've had to say to God, just crush me. It's amazing how as a Christian, I did not trust God to crush me, but I let hell crush me every day. Knock me around like a pinata. Live just getting knocked all around and complaining about it. God says, Nancy, if you come over here, I can do some crushing that'll set you free. I'm like, no, I'm not interested. I just stay with the crushing I'm familiar with, even though I'm miserable. Anybody? There comes a moment when you have to say, wait a minute, why am I, as a born-again Christian, not trusting God to do in me what only he can do? See, that's why he's got to separate some things out. You see, we've got to come to the place that we don't want to be those that miss our time of visitation. I believe God is visiting and is about to increase his visitation here at Crossroads. Because God's looking for places where he doesn't just visit, but where he lives. So as I get ready to close, I want to tell you what the reference scripture is, because lest you think all of this stays completely self-focused and just on us, okay? Because remember, when you come out of the private practice room, guess what happens? You become a part of the symphony of sons, okay? Is that this private work, get your booking in your private practice room with God. Begin to seek at a different level. Begin to seek out that which your pastor is beginning to make available to you throughout the course of the next months. This is not a quick poof work, okay? But listen to me carefully. All that time ago when God was speaking this scripture to me in Song of Solomon, he said, Nancy, this is my yoke with you. I'm going to put my hand on your neck and my other hand on your back, and the two of us are going to move as one, eye to eye, heart to heart. I'm going to say things to you. I'm going to do things for you that you were never meant to do for yourself. He set me free from myself. He set me free from addictions, from sexual sin, from all manner of things. God has set me free since I became a Christian. He has definitely, the fire of God is what has literally delivered me. And that fire, part of that fire, is the power of the cross, which I hope that this house will come to know, the power of the cross. But here is the reference scripture, because Song of Solomon 2:6 is an Old Testament scripture. And here is the corresponding scripture that goes with the one I just shared with you. Song of Solomon 2:6. Now, I wish I could tell you that I fasted and prayed and, you know, hummed and whatever, but I just looked at the end of the scripture and there was these other scriptures in the parentheses. And I said, that scripture looks awfully familiar. Well, yes, I guess it does, because the reference scripture that goes with Song of Solomon 2:6 that says, I'm going to put my left hand on her neck and my right hand on her back and she and I are going to move together. The reference scripture that goes with that is Matthew 28:18-20 that says, go and lo, I am with you. Do you understand? We're right back at John 17. You're right back where Jesus said, if they move as one with us, The world is going to know that I am the one that he sent. This production, everything that's assigned to this house, to Crossroads, to you, all of the people that God is assigning to you and getting you ready for, I'm telling you, all of that production, my friends, happens out of this deep place of intimacy with him. The fireworks that begin to come out. Could you roll that clip? I know it's just a little tiny. I'm just trying to show a little something that's going to start happening out of the tent of his presence with you. Just watch it for a minute. The fireworks of consummation. Just let it run. You understand? Right inside of you, fireworks. Fireworks. Somebody's going to be able to see and say, whoa, what is happening up in that person's life? What is happening at that church? Not because y'all are trying to do all of that, but because something is happening so deep with each of you that out of that tent of his presence, of that deep oneness, of that deep intimacy with him, where he begins to do for you what you cannot do for yourself, fireworks are going to come out of there. Authority, healing, life, whatever it is that he has promised, it comes out of a bride who is one with him. Not somebody who just says, yeah, just give me your name so I can take away the reproach of my sin, but I'll keep taking care of my own life. That kind of bride doesn't get the fireworks. I didn't say you didn't get to heaven, my friends, but heaven, that's just still all about you. Those fireworks are for the glory of my Father. Those fireworks are the fruit of oneness with him. Because I'm telling you, I can hear him coming. I told the leadership the other day, I live in an open vision where I can hear the footsteps of people. They are coming. They are going to be looking for houses that are on fire with him. That won't judge them as being horrible, but will help the judgment of God hit what God is getting ready to separate them from. Be it sexual sin, be it whatever it is, my friends, it's getting ready to purify us, listen to me, from the greatest filth that we have, which is our own self-righteousness. The greatest filth in the church is that she thinks she's good all by herself. God is coming for a bride. God is coming for sons. God is coming for you and I. This is why I love to use these words, which is go low. I'm not J-Lo. This is go low. Go, and lo, I will be with you. The only reason to go on the journey, my friends, is so that you can be one with him. You don't have to particularly be thrilled about leading people to Jesus. You don't have to be thrilled about studying. You don't have to be thrilled about all the... Some of you are trying to get yourself excited over things that are not that exciting. That's like getting married and thinking you're supposed to be excited about doing the laundry. Really? That's like getting married thinking you're supposed to be excited about changing the oil in your wife's car. Really? That you're supposed to be excited about all these... No. You get married because you're going to be together. He wants to live as one with you. All the other... You don't have to be that excited about it. How many of y'all have tried to be excited about stuff? And after a while, you're like, it's just not working for me. Well, that's because it's not supposed to. And you boiled your Christianity down to trying to be excited about things that you were never supposed to be excited about. We're supposed to be in oneness with him. That's why he came for us. So I want to say to you that this go low, this go and lo, he is with you. That there is a fire that is going to light up darkness that's going to come in you. And it's going to come through you. And what you allow him to do in private, he does reward with public power. That's what he tells us in Matthew 6. And I believe that there is getting ready if you book your private practice room, if you begin to get ready and say, God, I don't even know what all that's going to look like, but God, get me ready. Don't leave me where I'm at. Move me with you, God. And you begin to say, God, I want that yoke of intimacy. I want to hear you. I want to know you. I want to go forward. I've got to leave this place of bondage where I'm at. Because what happens is the longer you stay somewhere that God is trying to get you to leave, the worse the tension and frustration gets. Because he's provoking you to go with him. So would you stand, please, as I close? I want to pray for this. Now, Father, I thank you that as you are working in this house, I thank you, Father, that you are doing it in the most powerful way. You are doing it, Father, according to your plan. You are doing it, Father, by your fire, the purifying fire of the cross of Jesus that the Holy Spirit unleashes. I thank you that you hear the cries within the hearts of the people. I thank you, Father, that you're taking them not just from their bad to shades of good, but Father, that you are the great and mighty one who has come for us. And I thank you, Father, that you are working powerfully in them right now to draw them to yourself. Not just to service, not just to this or that, but to yourself. That this yoke of intimacy, Father, I release that fire in this house. I release it according to your written word. I release it according, Father, to your spoken word over this house. When you birthed her, as you have sustained her through the years, and as you are about to transform her, Father, for this hour of history. I pray, Father, that you will speak to those right now that are ready to go. They're ready to book their private room. They're ready, Father, to say, I've got to quit trying to get in the full-blown symphonic practice what I can only get when I go into that private place with you. Enlarge the place of her tent, Father. Stretch out her tent pegs, Father. I thank you that her family is getting ready to be enlarged. I thank you that she's going to need a lot more elbow room. And I thank you, Father, that according to Isaiah 54, she is not going to be put to open shame. I thank you, Father, that Crossroads is not, Father, going to be mocked nor ridiculed. I thank you that Crossroads will be a part of being the citadel of this city, Father, when it comes to your kingdom. I thank you, Father, that people are going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, Father. And I thank you, it's going to be exactly what you have written down. I declare it, Father, and I thrust the spear, Father, of the cross of Jesus Christ into the belly of this house. I say, Father God, come and have it your way. Let those who have ears to hear today, Father, respond to you. Let them move towards you so that you can release that dual fire. Father, that you know how, Father, to separate out that which is of flesh and how to protect and love your people. Father, I thank you that you are quickening life within them and that you, Father, will tend to them and take care of them. And I thank you, Father, hell does not know everything that's getting ready to happen. Hell does not know. But when they emerge, Father, as flames of fire because of you, I thank you, hell will take notice of what you do here at Crossroads. People will come to know you, Father. They will come to know you, Father. They will know you. They will hear you. They will experience you. They will speak of you. They will be a witness of you, Father. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for your determined destiny with this house. And I release the full provision in every layer and every level into this house for this entire next year. All of the provision, Father, unleash your provision, Father, to this house. People, finances, Father, buildings, everything they need, Father, to accomplish this, Father. I thank you for it and commit them into your hands, Father. I thank you that they hear the great love that you have for them. And I thank you that they will respond to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.